Hi guys, welcome back to Miscellaneous Pleasures. I'm finally back with my review for The Queen's Gambit, the brilliant television show based on the game of chess on Netflix. I actually should have made this video a couple of weeks back because I did finish the show like 2 to 3 weeks ago, and at that time I was just waiting for, I was just waiting for a week or so to, how to say this? Sort of like have the show marinate in itself in me and, to think about the show, to read articles, to watch videos and stuff like that on YouTube. And I should have made this video last week, but, things just came up and it just got pushed back and back. And finally, here I am. I am going to have a non-spoiler as a spoiler section because this show is, to be fair, quite new, and I'm sure a lot of people have this in their wish list, or they're waiting to watch it with their partner or something like that. So I know that a lot of people wouldn't have watched this yet, so I am going to have a non-spoiler section, and for people who have watched it, obviously there's a spoiler section coming in a few minutes. Non-spoiler section, what can I say? Absolutely fantastic show, definitely worth watching. So, it has only 7 episodes, and the whole total watch time is probably about 7.5 to 8 hours. So you could probably finish it binge watching in a single day. And it is definitely binge watch worthy, so you wouldn't get bored or anything like that. What else? As I said, it's a show based on the game of chess, and one of the most common things that I've seen people ask is, do I need to know chess to watch this show? Like, should I have any sort of understanding of the game? And I mean, it would obviously help if you do have an understanding of the game. I loved the show, and one of the primary reasons for it was I did know the game, and at various moments in this TV show, I have paused scenes and analyzed the games and analyzed the positions and have been marveled by it and stuff like that. That has been a big factor. But having said that, if you know absolutely zero chess, like you don't know what the pieces are, how they move, things like that, then I suggest you just have a quick Wikipedia read or anything like that, 2 to 3 minutes hardly, to have a basic understanding of what the game is, how does the board look, how many pieces are there, what are their names, stuff like that. But you don't need to know any more than that, because it's not like a documentary on the various games of chess. So it's not like that. It's a show about a person playing chess. So at the end of the day, the whole focus is on the person and not on the game. So you should be fine. And actually, one of the best appreciations a show like this can get is the fact that there are a lot of people who have actually started playing the game after watching this show. So if you have no idea about the game, then you may be one of those people. And second of all, I mean, I did read this, I'm not sure about the exact statistic. There are popular websites where multiplayer games can be played for chess, and one of the popular websites is chess.com. I read a stat, an article which said that there have been about 2 to 3 million new people who have registered for the game since the show was released on Netflix. So there you go. If you have any reservations about the show being slow and, not enough pace, not enough action or anything like that, be rest assured that's not the case. Yes, there are moments where the show is slow, but there is enough activity, there is enough plot, there is enough storyline that's happening in each episode, which will keep you, which may not keep you on the edge of your seat, but it definitely keep you into the show, and you won't be like bored or anything like that. So I can vouch for that. The actress Anya Taylor-Joy, I keep confusing her name, She was absolutely the main lead. She was absolutely fantastic in the show, and kudos to her for nailing the character and, you know, to have that sort of a, like, she didn't look out of place even in one single scene. So kudos to her for that. What else in the non-spoiler section? If you want me to quantify it in some sort, like my whole review, I would probably say that I'd rate this about 8.6 out of 10. The thing is, the standard deviation of the rating is very less. And what I mean by this statement is, each episode is almost as good as every other episode. So there is no moment where you'll be like, you know what, this episode was completely rubbish, but there were five other episodes which are absolutely fantastic. It's not like that. All the episodes are very good. There are a couple of episodes which are absolutely fantastic, but there are no episodes which are just good or average. So in terms of that, like, they have done pretty well in making each episode really good. And yeah, that's all. I mean, I don't really know what else to say, like, in the non-spoiler section. Like, go watch the show, that's it. Like, as I said, 8 hours, so just one weekend and you would be done with the show, and you'll probably be happy with yourself for watching the show. And that's all. And now to the spoiler section. So I'm going to give all the people who have not watched the show a couple of seconds. Yeah, so here is the spoiler section. Beth Harmon. I mean, this is a character that I am going to remember for a long time to come. And as I said earlier in the non-spoiler section, this show is absolutely fantastic. And I just begin this spoiler review with the sort of talking about each episode in some sort of a brief format. We do begin the show with an older Beth Harmon about who is playing in Paris against Borgov. We just see a couple of scenes where she's drunk and late for the game, and then it cuts to a small girl who meets with an accident, and her mother dies in that accident, and then she's sent to a home because she's an orphan now. And this is how the show begins. And what they did very well in the first episode, and even though it felt slow, it raced past you. And that's sort of like a contradictory statement, because when a show is slow, you don't feel like the time is moving quicker. But that was not the case, because there are a lot of things happening, a lot of plot points being built up and taking place. And we obviously are introduced to Mr. Scheibel, who is one of my favorite characters in the show. It was actually one of the most emotional scenes for me was the final episode, where she sees that notice board in Mr. Scheibel's sort of office, where he has all the clippings of Beth's various wins and games, newspaper articles. And then she realizes how much he actually, you know, felt proud of her and things like that, and she's crying. That sort of a 2-3 minute sequence was absolutely fantastic. So that was that. Coming to episode 2, we are introduced to Towns, we are introduced to Beltic, we are introduced to the two reception guys. All three, sort of, they're actually four people, but, you know, all three of them feature in some way or form in the future episodes. You know, we have Towns coming back again in the third one, where, you know, there are sparks flying here and there, and Beth likes him. She was sort of the first guy she liked in that way. And this show, like, one particular aspect which I like about the show is that the surprise element that each episode had. Like, I have watched a lot of TV shows and movies, right? Like, there is some sort of a format that each of them have. And this one, like, in the end of the first episode, we see her overdosing on the green pill. It was Green Pill. Yeah, the Green Pill. And the second episode, like, we don't see the repercussions at all. That was surprising for me. And in a way, refreshing, because they did not deal with the whole sort of drama that goes around. And, you know, I mean, we all know what would have happened, so there is no point in seeing that. That's not contributing in any shape or form. And similarly, like, the second episode, we have this sort of an arrogant Harry Beltic who thinks that he is the best player in that sort of a town, till he meets Beth, who defeats him. And we then see him back again in like fourth or fifth episode, where he comes back and helps Beth in her preparation after her mother passes away. And then he comes back again in the penultimate and the final episodes and has a good contribution to make. So a character who I did not particularly like had a very good character arc, and then I liked him well. So that was quite surprising for me. And even the reception, guys, like in the episode that they were in the Mexico episode, their moments really carried the episode well. And as I said, it never felt like they were just there to for the sake of it, or the writers just wrote them in because contracts or anything like that. They actually had a part to play, and their scenes weren't out of place or anything like that. So kudos for that. And the probably the most surprising thing was Jolene coming back, which was, again, as I said, these people coming, these people from Beth Harmon's past coming back and helping her in some shape or form in her future was probably the highlight of the show. And Jolene coming back was, again, as I said, not expected. Like, I seriously thought, like, you know how there are a lot of stereotypes, cliches that are there in TV shows and movies, and one of them is, obviously, I thought Towns was going to be the guy who comes and helps her in the recovery and then meeting Borgoff. And then when a person gets out of the car in the last scene of sixth episode, I was like, yeah, that's Towns. And then you see this woman and you're like, who is this? And then I realized that it was Jolene. At the same time, Beth says Jolene. So again, surprising for me, and in a way I should have seen that coming, to be fair. Again, a person who played a part in the final episode, it wasn't like she was just written because, you know, they wanted to bring her back, but she did have something to do, and her character was, again, different from other characters that were there. And in a way, it was sort of felt like, you know, completion of a circle where they were friends in the home and then she left. Basically, their paths diverged. But then their paths converged again because of how life was for them in those 5-6 years. So, yeah, very well done in those aspects. And secondly, I come to the most important aspect that this show did well and had to do well, because it's a show about the game of chess. And that aspect is the game of chess, where, I mean, I have had a lot of issues with how chess is portrayed in movies and TV shows, where you have, like, I mean, I've said this 3-4 times and I'm going to say it again, so sorry for the repetition, but you have this scene where two people are talking, two intellectually sound people are talking, probably the hero and the villain, a lot of occasions. And at the same time, they're also playing chess. They somehow start the conversation by starting the game, and then at the end of the conversation, the person who probably has the upper hand in that conversation is the person who wins the game of chess. And right at the end, he'll move some piece randomly and then be like, that's checkmate. And the person who gets checkmated is looking at the board, completely shocked and surprised by it. Like, these are the sort of shit that I've seen movies and TV shows do with chess. And it sucks because, I mean, they wouldn't dare do that with football or cricket or hockey or with baseball or any other sport like that. But for some reason, that has always happened with chess. Like, chess has always been the game that the intellectually sound people play and, like, normal people don't, or they don't understand what the game is. So, yeah, I mean, I was worried that this show wouldn't do that or would do some of those wrong things. And I was really happy with the way it was portrayed. The games in itself were one of the reasons that I loved the show. Like, they kept me engrossed in the whole thing. And, very well done. And I heard that a lot of the games were actually picked by hand by Kasparov himself. Like, he was sort of like advisory sort of role he had in helping them choose the games. So yeah, that was fun. I mean, I obviously had issues, right? Like, in the second episode I had issues with people talking in between games, but then they sort of managed it, towards the fifth or the sixth episode where Benny deals with that people don't say check in games and people don't talk in between games. They don't keep their kings down after they have lost. Like, these things don't happen in chess in the actual international tournaments. So, at least the fact that they didn't mention that, I was like, you know what? It's not a mistake that they have done. It's not like, creative liberty, I understand. I do respect creative liberty. But there are some things that you just can't go wrong with or shouldn't do wrong. And I was happy that they didn't do that with this element of the show. So that was one of the things I liked. The second thing I liked, and again, an important one, right? It's very important. Like, we have these discussions on a daily basis and various sort of platforms and stuff like that, where we talk about women equality, inclusiveness, stuff like that. And this is essentially a show which is portraying a female genius. There is no two way around this. And I sort of did a mental exercise. I started to think, who are the female geniuses I know in TVs or movies? And I couldn't think of many. And either it's the real person and somebody is portraying them in a movie, which doesn't count because I'm talking about the real, not real characters, but people who have created for the purpose of a movie. So even though Beth Harmon is, I read that it was based on Bobby Fischer, at least they did not make this movie as a male character. Like, that could have seriously been done and nobody would have raised an eyebrow because, Game of Chess, a lot of the, like, if you see the ratio of male to female in the top level, like top category, then obviously the ratio is male dominated. And so if it would have been a male person playing a male character with a sort of similar sort of addiction sort of storyline and, finally ending up beating a person, nobody would have questioned it. The show would have probably been done well because the chess aspects and other things were actually good. The story was good. So it would have obviously done well, but I felt like they did a good thing by having a female character which is different. I heard that this was based on a book. So it doesn't matter, like, it's based on a book or not. They did choose to do this, and I'm happy that they did do that. And the person who portrayed it was absolutely fantastic, so kudos for that. Which sort of brings me to the next point that I liked was other stereotypes that are generally prevailing. Like, nowadays, the one thing that I don't like by, in movies and TV shows or stuff like that is because you want to have female-centric movies or characters, you change the male ones into female. Like, I have seen a lot of discussions about how there's going to be a female Bond. There is already a female doctor. There have been discussions. I heard that Jessica Chastain was going to play the Reverse Flash in the Flash movie. I was like, why would you want to do that? And then the whole point is, why do you want to have, or why do you want to make an already existing popular male character into a female one? Why can't you, or do you not have the creative sort of juices in your brains to actually create a good female character and weave a good story around it. And that has been one of my major criticisms to everybody having this sort of a discussion who's the pro side. So from that aspect, absolutely fantastic. As I said, I mean, it may be from a book, it may be based on the life of Bobby Fischer, I couldn't care less about it. The fact that they did choose to do this, and they did it well, and they focused on aspects that they should, and they didn't focus on the aspects that they shouldn't, they did it perfectly and nailed it, and I was really happy with it. Which brings me to other stereotypes, as I said, which was, for instance, tribal janitor of the home teaching somebody a game of chess. A game, as I said earlier, which was always shown to be played between two intellectually sound people, whereas in the real world, you don't need to be brilliant, or you don't need to have the intellect of a Neobard Thorn or the mind of Barry Allen to actually play chess. You could be me, you could be you, you could be an average person who in terms of mental capacity is average, and you could play chess. There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, you may not be brilliant at it, but it doesn't mean that you can't play it. So as I said, Scheibel training Beth Harmon was something that I liked, and they did those scenes very well. I mean, I think I could have beaten Scheibel. I mean, he wasn't a great player, but what he did do was teach her the game well, taught her the basics well, paved her a path, sort of like, you know, if this is the end point that you want, then this is a journey that you could take. He introduced her to that other guy who had her play the simultaneous with 12 people. So things like that. It wasn't some genius, it wasn't some male character who was sort of a dominating sort of male character who trained her. It was a janitor in her home. So that aspect I liked. And another thing, and I've already said this multiple times in my YouTube reactions, actually I should have said this before, I have done YouTube reactions for all these TV shows and all these episodes, and if you are listening to this in my podcast, then I do have a YouTube channel where I've already put up the reactions to all the 7 episodes of the show. So please do check that out, because I have talked about each episode after the reaction in depth, in detail, about the things I liked and did not like. So some of these things would have come up there as well, and there are things that I have said there which I'm probably not going to say here. So that's that. Coming back to the point, I have said this before, chess is not a game for rivalry and enmity and toxicity that exists in football or cricket. And there was a time I was worried that this show is going to portray Borgov as the antagonist and not the opponent. And I think I have talked about this before, like, there is a quote which a popular YouTuber called Mark Goldbridge says often when this sort of a discussion comes up. It's that they are your rivals and not your enemies. And there was a point in the show where I thought that they were going to portray Borgov as the antagonist and not the opponent. And I was happy that at the end of the day, at the end of the whole season or the whole series, Borgov was just the opponent, the final obstacle that she had to sort of cross, and she did do that. And Russia also, like, the same thing goes for Russia. Like, Russia in American movies and TV shows is the place where villains exist. Like, you have a villain, if you put him as a Russian, end of discussion. Like, you have the perfect villain. That sort of a stereotype has been built around. And even in this show, right, like, there's obviously that discussion that Beth Harmon has with the church people about how Marxists are atheists and creating atheism in the world. There was obviously the bodyguard that accompanied Beth to Russia, who talks about how Borgov may approach her or anything like that in the plane discussion. So there was obviously those elements. There were people existing in this show's world who thought of those things, who believed in those things, and the fact of the matter was that this show actually portrayed Russia. The first time we actually see Russia, there is a beautiful shot, and then we see people who are appreciative of the fact that Beth is actually playing really well. Like, her fan following increases game by game. And then obviously the end scene where people are really happy to see her, and it's all positive vibes. And that's one of the things that I really liked. Those, the sort of not showing Russia as the enemy. Like, it's sort of like boring now, like, so, you know, don't do that. So that was one thing. What else? Like, as a show in a whole, like, there were obviously people that I did not like. There were obviously aspects of the story that I did not like, but at the end of the day, it was a story that they decided to tell, and it's a story, right? Like, I can't pick, I'm not going to criticize the show for the story that they decided to tell, because the whole mother sort of committing suicide or that accident did not sit well with me at all. I absolutely hate that woman. If that person exists in real life, I would hate her. And similarly, the father guy, I couldn't care less about him, completely indifferent sort of emotion towards him. So, but these are people who are part of the story, so I hate them, but doesn't mean I'm going to criticize the show for it. There was one criticism that I did read. Like, I mean, there are a lot of criticisms, obviously. Every show has criticisms to it, and there are people who hate it, there are people who love it. I'm not going to go into depth in every one of them. But there was one particular criticism that basically was that, as I said, this is based on a book. I think the book may have been released in the 80s or the 90s. So there was this one article that I read whose writer had talked about how he had read, or how she, I don't know the gender, how they had read the book and then watched the movie. They obviously liked it, but there were aspects which they did not like. And they gave reasons, like, in the book, apparently she was not pretty when she was younger, or at least that's what the impression that her own character had. And even as she grew into herself, like, she wasn't the prettiest of people or anything like that. And that the writer of that article had mentioned how the actress who plays Beth Harmon is a model. So they had obviously issues with that. And they also had issues with sort of the whole sort of the fashion thing that Beth Harmon has going. They had issues with, I don't remember what else they had. Like, they had like few issues like these, right? Like, all I'm going to say is, this is an eternal debate that people have, book versus movies or TV shows, and how, like, your imagination of a character after reading a book is different from what you see in a movie or a TV show, and you're obviously disappointed by it. And I get that, but at the end of the day, I'm pretty sure that there are a lot of people who don't even know that this is based on a book, first of all. And second of all, there are a lot of people who couldn't care less about it. The fact that it's based on a book, and that the book has a different sort of the way the character is portrayed, or the way the character looks, or anything like that. Because all people actually want to do is watch a good show or a movie, and spend their time watching it and have fun with it, probably spend good time with their partner or friends or anything like that. If a show is able to do that, then, like, why have issues like that? Like, at the end of the day, the person who's creating this content, right, like the producer, the director, the people surrounding the movie, you do want to sell the movie or the TV show. Like, you want to sell the content, and as unfortunate or as sad as, or as as any negative word that you want to choose for this occasion or this situation, as much as a negative word it may sound, you do want a person who is presentable to the audience. And Anya Taylor-Joy, I hope I'm saying her name right, she was the person chosen to be the face of the show, to be the person who is going to play this part. And if she is prettier than the person who is supposed to be playing it, or how the character is there in the book, then it should not matter, because focus on the story, don't focus on the face. It doesn't really matter, because yes, in the book it may have had 400-500 pages and it may have had a lot of time to focus on her younger self when she was self-conscious, when she was called like names. I don't know, I haven't read the books, I have no idea of the extent of the trauma related to this topic that she had in her life. But in the show, I don't remember her being called ugly once. Even if she was, it was to such a insignificant sort of scene that I don't even remember it. And I have watched some of the episodes twice. So even if she was called like once, let's say in her home or let's say in the school that she went after she was adopted, who cares? Like, the character that we saw in the TV show was a person who wanted to live a glamorous life, who loved clothes, who loved the fashion aspect of it. Ever since she had, you know, when she went to that the new school after she was adopted, like, there were a lot of people who laughed at her the way she dressed and stuff. So she made an obvious conscious decision that she is going to spend the money that she is going to get from winning the chess tournament that she plays, and she's going to spend it on the fashion aspect of things, and she's going to make herself look prettier. That's her choice. That's fine. There's no problem with it. Like, you can't expect every person to behave the same way. And if this is the character that the storyteller wants to tell, then, and if you're going to do it well, I don't have an issue with it. So other criticisms about the show, like, there are people who have issues with certain aspects of the character behavior, like, why did Beth Harmon decide to go with Benny Watts, or I don't know what else criticism is there. Like, I couldn't care less, because I don't have them criticisms from my part. And if you have a criticism, it's fine. Like, as I said, sometimes it's fine. Like, I feel like a lot of times nowadays, at least, if a new movie or a TV show comes out, you see all these YouTube titles and Facebook posts and Instagram posts and Twitter tweets and stuff where they're talking, the headline says, 5 things that is wrong with the Queen's Gambit. Why I did not like the Queen's Gambit. Why I think this is such. I did not read the article, but I read the title of the article for the Queen's Gambit. The review was why. No, the title was the fatal mistake that the show makes, or something like that. I was like, fatal mistake, like. And I think it was talking about some, as I said, I did not read the article. I think it was talking about some female sort of equality thing. I'm not sure what it was about. But at the end of the day, the point I'm trying to make is, don't focus on the negative. Like, focus on the positive. It's fine. It's a good show. Like, most people like the show. So if you don't like the show, then understand that you are in the minority. And it's fine if you don't like the show. It shouldn't be the case. Like, it's never the case that everybody likes something. And if it doesn't, you know, it's not up to your taste, or it's not up to your expectation, or if you have issues with it, it's fine. Like, focus on the positives. If you do have negatives, then don't recommend the show to somebody else. That's fine. I feel like there's a lot of negativity in this world, and it's about time that we don't actually have that, and, you know, have positivity everywhere. It's probably the idealist in me to have this sort of an approach. And I am way, of course, in this discussion. Actually, to be fair, I don't have anything else to say. As I said, a brilliant show. I may not watch it again. Like, I don't think this show has a very great rewatchability sort of quotient. Maybe some scenes here and there, maybe some YouTube rabbit hole that I'll find in a few weeks or months' time, or maybe in a year or two's time where I feel like watching these 7 episodes again, sort of like binge watch. Maybe, not sure. Yeah, final thoughts. As I said earlier, I'm going to give this an 8.6, 8.7, something like that out of 10. It exceeded expectations for me, and this is one of the best sport-related content I have watched in my life. In terms of how the sport was portrayed, in terms of the story that they chose to tell, in terms of the characters and their acting and their the way the whole show is presented, not having filler episodes, not having like dull moments or anything, it was extremely engrossing and feel good factor. I mean, I don't want feel good factor in everything that I watch, but it's always good to have a good feel good factor, and this show had it in abundance at various places. And as I said, the story in itself is slightly cliched. I've seen this before, but it doesn't matter because you're portraying something that hasn't been done before, which is chess, in such a large scale. I obviously know that the pawn sacrifice is one of the popular chess sort of content, but it's, I think, the only proper content that we have in chess. So to have a show like this, a female-centric show, female lead, and done well, like, it's not serving the agenda. The agenda is not to have a female-centric show, it's to actually portray a character who is playing chess, and they chose to have a female lead, and I don't have an issue with it. So that's all for this video slash podcast. Do watch the show, it's absolutely fantastic. And now that I've finished The Queen's Gambit, and I'll probably finish season one of Stranger Things in Dark this week, I am obviously planning to replace this show with something else. And right now, the top sort of thing that I have in my mind is All or Nothing show in Prime for Spurs. So it's a football sort of show, and it has very good reviews, and I do love football, and I do know of a lot of the things that do happen in that documentary, and I am excited to watch it. So that's going to be the one that is going to replace The Queen's Gambit, and I'll probably be beginning that show next week or maybe in the last week of December, I'm not sure. So that's all for this video slash podcast. Thank you for watching, thank you for listening. Please do share the content, and if you have any sort of appreciation or criticism or constructive feedback or any thoughts about this show, please do share your comments in the in YouTube if you're watching there, or in Anchor or in Spotify. I don't know exactly how you'll comment in those platforms. You'll probably always there's always my Twitter that is link that is available in Anchor, so or Linktree if you're watching there or listening there. So that's all. Thank you for watching, thank you for listening. Bye guys.